Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
So how's everybody's weekend going? It is officially spooky season, Halloween week coming up, although my town had trick-or-treat last night. Saturday night, yeah. So I think I can put all my decorations away, right?
Yeah, you can go full Christmas from what I've heard.
Well,
I'm irritated that the Oreos for Halloween have not been around since October. Like, they were here for a week in September.
Oh no, really?
It's like not even Halloween yet. Like, where the heck are these Oreos?
Are the Halloween Oreos your favorite Oreos?
Yes. Yes, they are, because they come out in October and it's the postseason, and they're the color scheme of the Orioles. So I always call them the Orioles Oreos. But I also just love that they're pumpkins. It's a delight. Like, they're just, it's my favorite.
I'll have to look at my local grocery, and if I find some, I, of course, will ship cookies to you. We all know this.
It's not the first time you've done that.
I have shopped. You probably need some cookies. Your Girl Scout cookies are probably all gone now.
Very much all gone, yeah.
Yeah, we probably... I was at Aldi again yesterday, so I might have to wait a week or two, but I'll find you some cookies. Spooky season, and we picked this topic to come out this week to help people find all their cozy Halloween-vibed reads, right?
Yeah. I mean, witches and fae, anyway.
Right. Well, for most of us, we probably read these seasonally, unlike Amanda, who, when life is just not going her way, she's just going to escape into these fantasy worlds.
Yeah, or when the world's a dumpster fire. Yep, that's where you'll find me.
So welcome, romance lovers and magical mischief makers, to another spellbinding episode of Buzzing About Romance. Tonight, we're stirring the cauldron and diving into the world of witches and fae, those sassy spellcasters, mysterious fae kings, and the downright enchanting stories they star in. If you ever dreamed of falling for a fae prince or trading potions with a wickedly charming witch, you've come to the right place. Grab your broomsticks, sprinkle a little fairy dust, and join us as we break down the steamy spells, the forbidden fae love, and all magical romances you could wish for. Let's get enchanted.
I loved that intro.
Did you like that? I got a lot of love for last week's all of my baseball puns. So I just was like, I guess we need to go back to the punny intros.
I loved it.
I mean, Leah's not here to roll her eyes at me, so it's okay. Okay, so like we said, this is Amanda's happy place. Last week's episode was Lindsay's happy place. This week, we are going into Amanda's happy place. So let's talk about... So we're specifically highlighting witches and fays, because I think we came to the conclusion to do these two subgenres, because when we went through our Wednesday episodes, these are the two that we didn't cover.
Yeah, because we did like shifters, and we did vampires, and we did monsters and
aliens.
But yeah, we didn't have enough Wednesdays for these.
So. Not enough Wednesdays for these. So we wanted to make sure we hit on these. I don't know. I would say since 2020, 2021, there has been a surge of witchy rom-coms.
Yeah.
A lot of.
I don't remember a ton previous to that.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Lindsay.
There weren't. Like, there, it was not really a thing up until the last couple of years. Rom-coms were a thing, and then there were a lot of witchy books, but they were more, like, even in the genre of romance, like, I don't remember them being, like, prolific. I feel like I don't know, maybe like in 2019, there were some.
Yeah, because I think like early 2000s, especially around 2010 and those years, it was very like urban fantasy, very paranormal. Like, they all leaned
Well, coming
towards
off
that
of that
vein.
Twilight vibe.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting because I wonder, I think that a lot of the authors that are authoring right now, that we're reading at least, are probably people that as young adults and teens watched Practical Magic.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I totally love that.
I love that
I love that
movie.
movie.
It's
Yeah,
such a
I'll be
great
watching
movie.
it like probably tomorrow night.
Okay.
Oh, I just did a Practical Magic brunch.
You did?
Oh.
Yeah, they have a movie theater here that is also a brewery, and they did like you could go see it in the morning last Sunday. So I went and they gave you like mimosas and it was like a whole thing. People were there all dressed up. It was so fun.
Oh, that's
They did
amazing.
Hocus Pocus this weekend, but we did not go to that. But yeah, I could not miss Practical Magic.
Oh,
That's
that's
so
fun. Those are my
funny.
two go-tos.
And I think that it is currently streaming on Max, FYI.
Yes.
So if you have Max, you can watch Practical Magic. I think Julia Roberts lives in New Mexico.
She does have a giant compound in Santa Fe. A lot of celebrities do.
She could have been there, though. Maybe she was incognito.
She was definitely not. I think she would have bought the whole theater out if she were there. And she's probably not driving down to Albuquerque from Santa Fe to see a movie.
You never know. You never know. Okay, so obviously we all loved Practical Magic. It's such a great movie. But there are more intense witches romances also that are a little more world building, a little more in that romantasy vein. Although 99.9% of the books that I'm going to recommend are rom-coms tonight.
Which is good because I don't think I have any.
So, okay. So for you, Amanda, what is it about the magic? And we are going to do, we probably did these episodes a little out of order. In December, we will have a whole episode. We're going to talk about the genre of romanticy, what it involves, what you're looking at, why is it making such movements right now? Because it's not a new subgenre.
No, but I think there's definitely been like an evolution,
Yeah.
of how it's, and even what we're talking about, how, in the early 2000s, like we were doing a lot of like the urban fantasy, the paranormal romance, and how you kind of went to the rom-coms, and now there's like a resurgence of trying to tie all that into the romanticy. So I think it's just for me, it allows me to like completely separate from like the world. Like even when you're reading a contemporary romance and things are, like those things could happen. Like I'm not gonna walk out anywhere and find a witch or a fae or anything like that. So I think it just lets me get completely out of reality. And also too, it like, I don't know. It's just always been something I've gravitated towards, I
Yeah.
guess.
I think that there is a feminism within witches, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. I know we're not in the recs yet, but I wanted to say, like, one of
Wreck them as
the
we go,
things that
whatever you want to talk about.
I started reading, like, when I started reading romances, like, I started reading, like, Dragon Shifters and Anne Bishop, her books, like, The Black Jewels. Is a witch series, and basically, it's a matriarchal society. And
Yeah.
for other series like Belladonna, like these are some of the first books that got me like really into reading as an adult, like not a teen. Her Belladonna series, like she's kind of a witch, but like she's a world builder. So like she builds bridges and like links worlds and is very critical to like traversing that landscape. So anyway, like yeah, I think like those books generally there are women in power. Yeah, like a lot of them, it's women-led society. It's very, yeah, I think that that's the big thing is that it's a more of a matriarchal society than the patriarchal one
Right.
we see.
Yeah, and I think there's an archetype for a sorceress for a reason.
Right.
And I think that a lot of, even if it's not like necessarily a witch romance or a fae or anything like that, you know, you get it in shifters, you get it in vampires or whatever, but you get those very strong female-led books. So, which is, that's another reason, like I gravitate towards fantasy and things like that.
Yeah. I will also say the comparison for me too, though, is I think that with a lot of these witchy romances, we allow these females to be dominant heroines. I rarely do we come across a witch romance where we're like, oh, she's incredibly unlikable, but she's bossy. She's in charge. She is sometimes manipulating the people around her to move things in a way that works for her. Never is the criticism the same of a bossy, unlike quote unquote unlikable heroine. For whatever reason,
Yeah.
because she has magic, we then are like, it's okay, we like that.
Yeah, and I think too you get like both in a lot of these books. You'll get a really strong heroine, but then she gets like a partner who is just as strong and will stand beside her, you know, kind of thing. Like I think that's also common in these type of books.
Yeah. Now, in fae books, we tend to see I think the one. I have one series of fae, you guys, so I haven't read a ton. I mean, I've read two, like this three book series and then one other book. But one of the things that I did notice, because I did read, what's her name? Shoot, I'll have to look it up. There's a midlife,
Oh, yeah.
Fae one, it always seems to be human women that fall into the Fae world. Is that common?
I think it was more typical before, like, a large resurgence of these kind of books, because the ones that I'm reading now, it's a lot of them are fae also.
Okay.
So I think it's changing a little bit from what I can see, but I haven't read a ton of newer ones.
I think that's fair. Lindsay, what is your fae? Have you read a lot?
I've read a lot of them, and I actually realized, like, when I was putting my list together, that I don't actually have very many of them because. So, the thing with the fae romance, I've DNF'd a lot of them. A lot of them, because we talk a lot about, like, in under the umbrella of like paranormal and romanticy books, like we've talked a lot about world building. And one of the things that happens in fae romances is they're not just world building, they're building a political world a lot as well. So, like, there's the political structure within the larger world. And sometimes, a lot of times, authors spend so much time building that that it takes so long to get into the story. And then they wind up getting broken out into, like, you see a lot of trilogies with them,
Yeah.
or like multi-book series with the same characters. And you know me, I
You're a
don't do
one and
cliffhangers.
done. You're a one and done
I'm
girl.
one and done. And I'm really like, are you over 350 pages? If you're over 350 pages, are you Krista Sandor? Yes, no, like, it gets into that realm for me, so I struggle. I do struggle with this a little bit. So I've read a lot, but I finished very few. And like the audio on these are all 15 plus hours. It's not uncommon for the audiobooks to be like 21, 20 hours for
Yeah.
them. They're very long. And so it's a very big commitment. But I do agree with what Amanda said, is that it's really nice because it is so incredibly immersive. And there's no, like, you're not going to the grocery store and running into somebody who's going to remind you of one of these
Yeah.
characters. Well,
This is true.
if you
Maybe.
are, I need to know where you're shopping.
Yes, I'll let you know if that ever happens.
Cece says, How to Tame a Trickster Fae by January Bell is a witch fae pairing. That is one of my recs,
Yeah.
Stacy. Because I don't have many. Is that a common pairing? And the series I was thinking of is by Brenda Trim. She had
Yes.
her midlife witchery books.
I read those. They're really good.
They're really good. They lean a little more towards women's fiction. than romance, but quality stories, well written, and Brenda was is a really nice human, just so we all know.
I went into like a whole like paranormal women's fiction like rabbit hole, I think in, I don't know, like 2018 or 2019 or something. And I got on like a Facebook group. So it was like, I did like Brenda Trim, like K.F. Breen, Shannon Mayer, and people that have like other paranormal or, you know, kind of magical series like outside of this. But it was like how I found a lot of them. And it was really good. So there's like a whole subset of like paranormal women's fiction that's really good.
It's really good. It was lighter romance, but it was a really well-written story, and so we all know that I struggled a little bit with the alien romances, right? That I wanted more world building and I wanted to know the whys. Like, why?
Yeah.
In the Fae and in the Witches, I do not have that same struggle. Like, I believe that there could be a portal that would take me to the Fae land, like, or a dream that sends me that way.
A lot of them are like loosely based on mythology too.
True.
Like Irish, or, you know, a lot of Irish Gaelic, you find that. I just read a whole series that's like loosely tied to Norse mythology, or, you know, kind of like the gods and goddesses. So I think there's a framework that a lot of us understand, basically.
Yeah. Because I can't remember exactly, but the Gallaghers of Ardmore, which is by Nora Roberts, I'm sure I said that wrong. It's three books. It's two siblings and a cousin, I think. But I think they fall into a sleep that leads them to the Fae land.
Yeah, I think that's what happens in that one. And then I have another one of her series on my list.
Doesn't she have a witch series that's like the Key Sisters or something like that?
She has a few witch series. So she has like the Key series, the Three Sisters Island. And then the one that I have on there is like the Cousins O'Dwyer. That's two siblings and a cousin in Ireland. Like, she does that a lot. And that's originally like how I started reading like about witches and fae, was through Nora Roberts.
They're really great books. And if you haven't read Nora Roberts, those books, I remember the Gallagher one just being enchanted. Like, I wanted to have the summer house parties where you open the front door to the back door to brush out all the bad to the new, and, you know, people to come eat food and play the music, or, you know, play your fiddle and your pipe and your flute and all that kind of stuff. Like, I wanted all of that. I was very enchanted by those books.
Yeah, I still am.
I think that there is something within this kind of subculture of witches and fays that is enchanting, that there's a charm to the mysticism, to the spells, to the struggles, because it does mirror some modern life problems, but there is just this next level because of the magic.
Yeah, and I think they lean a little more, and I will say, just because I'm a very visual person when I read, that they read a little more human-like than a shifter or a vampire, or especially an alien or a monster. So I think it's a little bit more relatable in that sense too, if you're a very visual reader.
So as someone that is constantly screaming on this podcast and on social media and everywhere that I want stakes over vibes, I feel like every witch romance that I have read, even a rom-com, gave me stakes. That it gave me layers of danger. It could be the deception that she doesn't want everyone to know she's a witch. It could just be a feelings of outcast. The characters just seem to have a little more to them. Thoughts? Do you think there's more stakes in these kinds of books than contemporary?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a couple things here, right? Like, there's also external forces. It does that thing that I like a lot in romantic suspense, where there's external forces, so there's no need for a third act breakup per se. Not to say that they don't have them, but there's no need for it because there are external forces, and a lot of what you get in terms of the relationship is them figuring out like how they balance each other. And like the, like it's a strong, you get a lot of like stronger together type relationships. And then like with the complexity of the world, I really liked Amanda's analogy with the mythology, because like the stakes in mythology, like we're so familiar with that. We learn it in school in the
Yeah.
US a lot. Like it's something that we grow up with, a lot of us. So it's like it's interesting, and there's infinite possibilities with it, and there's so many like complexity. There's so much complexity and nuance with the relationships, the conflict, and the world
Oh.
itself in those stories, that it winds up being like, even if there are somewhat similar plot points, or even if it's not the best written story, it's still like easy enough to read the book because it just sucks you into that world. And it's relatable. There's a lot of like overcoming external forces. And I feel like that's something that is very appealing to a lot of people right now, especially the last like few years, just because of like the state of the world
Yeah,
and not having
yeah.
control over a lot of things. Like we started seeing a lot of these with
Yeah,
COVID. None
no.
of us had control. None of us
No.
wanted to be in our house. And then like these are very appealing as a result.
No, I agree. What do you think, Amanda? Stakes vibes? Because there's always this layer of
No, I
danger.
definitely think that there are stakes in a lot of these books. And I think even with the ones that end up being like those shorter, maybe, like Jenny would say, like a mac and cheese read, like even those, I feel like there's some possibility that the world's going to end if something doesn't happen. So I feel like you're getting that even in the lighter ones, even
Yeah.
in the rom-com ones, you're getting that sense of doom, good versus evil. Like there's something happening.
There is clear, I feel, in these books, definition of what is good and what is evil. And sometimes, typically, a lot of times, especially in the rom-com ones, the humans are the evil, which tracks.
Yeah.
And I do like that. Stacy says, different world, that usually a lot of higher stakes since the accepted culture is different. And there does seem to be, because of the cultural differences, the level of acceptance of being different is okay. And I wonder if there's comfort in that for when people read them.
Yeah, I think probably especially with witch romances that happens.
Yeah. And then, oh, Jenny says, I don't read many of these, but I loved Once Upon a Time.
The show?
Yeah. Did you watch that
Yeah.
show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's such a good
It's
show.
great. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's too, like, when we talk about like it being like similar to mythology, but a lot of those will lean on fairy tales too.
Yeah.
So, you're getting familiar things. You're getting familiar themes. You're getting familiar plots, things that look like something that you already know.
And right off the bat, we're starting with it being forbidden, particularly if it's someone magical falling in love with a human, right? There's this boundary, this forbidden element. And we all love the forbidden.
Yeah. And in this instance, in paranormal and fantasy, I don't love it so much in my contemporary. And that's like another reason I like it. Like anything goes for me in paranormal and fantasy, not so much in my contemporary. So it gives me a broader range of things to read.
Which is why I was so shocked with the shifter romance we read, that you were like, yeah, it's great. And I'm like,
Yeah, right?
this guy is so not your typical guy.
Yeah, but see, I love like I, you compared him to an Aurora Rose Reynolds hero
He
because he's
was.
very much like that, but it's much more over the top, which I
Yeah.
can handle in these kinds of books.
Lindsay, what do you think? Does that forbiddenness play into your likability of these books? Or the popularity of these books.
Honestly, like I just tend to gobble, like especially the witch romances, I just tend to gobble them up. Like I just tend to read whatever. Like a lot of the rom like we have a lot of the same rom-com wrecks. Like all of those were, and it helps that like a lot of them are in like Hoopla or whatever,
Yeah.
so you can get them for free. Like, and it's just like you can just burn through them. And I don't know that the forbidden aspect is so much as appealing to me as it is like I really like having heroines whose sole purpose in the book is not like relationship oriented. Like in contemporary, you see a lot of like a lot of ones driven by like she just wants a life partner, or like she just wants to get married and have kids, or like the relationship drives the story a lot. And I really like stories where there are external factors pushing the hero and heroine together and having a relationship form from that, not because that's what they're seeking or what they want or necessarily looking for, but like the external circumstances drive that. And I love the theme of overcoming, like,
Yeah.
because like human life is challenging and it's just very relatable to see. And it's very, I don't know, it just makes me feel really good. Like, especially when things are challenging in my personal life, I will definitely gravitate more towards these books
Yeah.
because it's aspirational, even though it's not grounded in my reality at all.
It's aspirational because I would really like to put a hex on you.
So much.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, I'm the same way. I just was telling Becky before we started, I was like, you can look at my Goodreads history and see, like, every 4 years, I tend to binge. Like, it's just, when
Yeah.
things are out of control and whatever. And then even, like, I reread, like, that Suzanne Wright series. Like, I've reread that series, I don't know how many times, just because that's a comfort read for me. So if things are
Yeah.
sideways, like, you'll see it show up. Like,
Yeah.
it's just one of
Yeah,
those
and
things.
I think like I've with all these discussions, like I've realized a theme for me. Like there's not a lot of roles for me. Like Amanda's been talking about like anything goes in paranormal, like same for me. Anything goes in paranormal, anything goes in mafia, anything goes in romantic suspense. Like I want my plots tied up, obviously.
Yep.
Like I don't want loopholes, plot holes, but I'm really only particular, like I'm really only particular about contemporary romance.
I think that that's a theme for all of us that's coming. I think that has been coming out in the sauce a little bit around here is that we're all not accepting just the vibes, right? We want more, and we're not buying some of the bullshit.
Yeah, true.
Okay, well, let's get to these book recs because Amanda has like 17 pages. Like, she could have
I
wrote
have
a
a lot.
dissertation.
I have a lot. I don't have to say them all, but they are all on the website for your perusal. Feel free to DM me if you have any questions.
Okay, well, let's kick this off a little bit differently. So let's say someone is coming in hot and new to witches, but they don't want a rom-com, Amanda. We're going to save those few lists for me and Lindsay because that's all we got. Where
So
would you
new
suggest
and
someone start?
so I will always recommend Deanna Chase's The Witches of Keating Hollow because it's small town. I actually found Deanna Chase through that paranormal women's fiction. She has a lot of those like trilogies with witches. It's a really long series. It's currently at 16 books. She's still putting them out, but the original four books were four sisters, the Townsend sisters. Like it's everyday small town life, but they just happen to be witches. They're lower spice. Every book is a standalone. There's no real overarching theme. I really like all of the characters. Like one runs a bookstore, one runs a spa. Like they get together with their friends and they drive golf carts around. They like decorate the golf carts. They have races. And they just happen to be a little witchy. So I think that's a really good low entry point, especially if you're like a fan of contemporary small town. Like I always recommend that series. So
Okay, Lindsay, where would you suggest people start? And you can give a rom-com because, that's all you and I got.
well, I did actually read a witch series that is not a rom-com. I'm actually a pretty big Ivy Asher fan, and I'm actually surprised I finished this series, but it was a while ago. The Osseous Chronicles, the Bone Witch series. I think it's called the Osseous Chronicles, but it starts with the Bone Witch. And that was pretty good.
I have that one on my TBR, so it looks really good.
It is. I'm actually about to reread it because when I was going through my list, I was like, I really liked this. It actually, I okay. So this one, if you are more of, I think like because it's a trilogy, it actually reads a lot more like the fae romance, even though it's very much a witch romance, and it's got more of that like big
Fantasy
Odyssey
world.
type. Yeah, that like big epic style story arc that you don't necessarily get with like just the single book witches. So I think like if you're a very much into the fae romances, but you want to like bridge that gap, that's a really good one. But yeah,
Okay.
all my others are, I actually don't have very many because like I've read a bunch of these, but they were,
It's okay.
I don't know, like I just didn't.
I have enough for everybody.
She has enough for everybody.
So.
So it's not a rom-com rec, but I read book one and I know that other people have read the other two books in this series. The Curse of the Blood Moon by Kristen Proby is the name of the series.
Oh, yeah.
Hollow's End starts book one. I read the audiobook because Sebastian York does the audio, and we all know how I feel about him. It was really good. I need to go back and read the other two, but it is three sisters, which is it was very well done. Very
Yeah,
well done.
Rachel was telling me to read that one. So it's on my list.
It's really good. I really highly suggest it. And like I said, the audiobooks were really good. So if somebody is looking, I think it was just Kristen Proby's writing is easy,
Yeah.
kind of that mac and cheese. And so if you're like, hey, I've never really read a witch's book, and you've maybe read a contemporary Kristen Proby,
Yeah.
this is an easy jump across the pond kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, give us another book, Amanda, or give us
Okay.
three, whatever you got.
So probably my favorite witch series of all time is A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. It's like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe this book. Like, it's just.
People are cuckoo for this book. Like I know Rebecca Gallo like went overnight to a signing for this. Did the third book just come out in this series or something?
Well, she had the original is like a it's a trilogy. And so that follows like Diana and Matthew. So Diana is like she doesn't know she's a witch. So that all kind of comes out. Matthew is a vampire. So the first three books are really about them. In the fourth book, you get his like one of his associates who's also a vampire. That's a really good book, like The Times Convert. And then the new one is the Black Witch Oracle or the Black something Black Oracle.
Blackbird Oracle. There's like a beautiful
Blackbird Oracle.
crow
Yeah.
on the front.
I haven't read that one yet, but that's the most recent. It came out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I boasted today, but like I bought like a special edition set of
Those
these
books are
books.
gorgeous.
And yeah, I don't know. There's time travel. They go back and forth in time. They're looking for the book of life to actually cure bloodlust for vampires. She is completely new to this world, which I also like in a lot of times when they're like supernatural and they don't know it.
Well, because
Like,
that adds a level of world building and newness that feels organic, right?
yeah.
Because you're
And
learning as
then,
she goes or they
yeah, and
go.
it's set in London and they go, and I'm probably gonna say this library wrong, the Bodleian. Bodleian, I don't know, but it's at Oxford and it's like a big deal library, but she's doing research there. She's like a research student. And so she keeps going in and all of these like old books that kind of it ties into alchemy and they keep coming up for her. And Matthew is trying to find them to cure bloodlust, and she's the only one that it will show itself for.
Okay.
And it's very intricate. There are all kinds of supernatural creatures. And like I said, there's an element of time travel. So you're getting to see all these different time periods that they go back and forth. It's really well done. And the series is out on, I think they did it on AMC, the TV show about the books. It follows pretty close to the books. So if you want to even just like check out an episode and see if you like it, the books are so good.
I've heard nothing but great things about the books. Like I said, that is a series that when I was working through my list, that everybody kept saying, like, read this. If you want anything witchy, read this. So we might have to, Lindsay, we might have to suck it up and try a trilogy.
I'll do it. I'll definitely. I've had that one high up on my recommendation list for a while. I just hadn't read it.
Okay, do you have a book, Lindsay?
I have a whole dang series. I'm gonna recommend. I'm gonna do the
Let me
same thing I
guess.
always
Let me
do.
guess. Let me guess. Who might we go for it, Lindsay? I know who exactly your book rec.
Juliet Cross, her Stay a Spell. I'm so obsessed with this series. It's ridiculous. I have like. I went from like having no hard copy books to having like literally two complete sets of the series. Anyway, it's ridiculous. I'm obsessed. My ultimate book boyfriend is Gareth from book four. I love
Oh.
him so much. Like, just I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah.
Anyway. The names are so clever. Every time I talk about these books, everybody's like, the names are so cute. Like, are they actually worth reading? And I'm like, shut up, just go get them now.
Stop being stupid and just read these freaking
Or
books.
the audio, honestly, I don't know if it's like the audiobooks have corrupted me on it because it's Aiden Snow and like, I love his voice so much.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to the audio and I love these books. So I think it's just, they're just that good.
I
They are so
really
good.
enjoyed Wolf Gone Wild, which is the only one I've read. No hate, no hate. I really did love that book, and that audio was exceptional. So it is very good. Okay, so I'm gonna re request one that I did the audio on, and it was just the most fun, you guys. I did this last week. I had a migraine, so there was a day that I just did nothing but listen to audiobooks. Deja Brew by Celestine Martin.
That looks so cute.
It is so cute. It is out by Forever. It is pumpkin spice meets Groundhog's Day. She doesn't realize she's a witch. Like, and she relives her getting to put on her first sweater of fall, like that day over and over again because she makes a wish. And curses herself. So she has to relive the day until she falls in love.
I didn't realize it was a Groundhog's Day. That's super cute.
It's so cute. It's so fun. The cover is adorable. And I was just sometimes forever books can feel a little more like women's fiction than
Yeah.
romance. But this was such amazing storytelling that, like, yes, read this book. So, anyway, it's in the library.
I think she has like book
This
two
is
is coming
book
out soon.
three. Well, actually,
Oh,
this is
is
book
it?
three in a series, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I think so for her. I'm gonna look because there's another one on my list that, yeah, Kiss and Spell is also
Okay,
by
that's the one
her.
I
That's
saw.
the first book. And
Okay.
again, these covers just suck you in. Yeah, Deja Brew. Deja Brew, you know, because she has to live the days over and over again. Anyway, those are her. That is book three. Witchful Thinking was book one. Kiss and Spell was book two. And Deja Brew was book three.
Oh, okay. I was totally wrong.
And the covers are adorable, you guys.
They are very cute.
Okay, what do you got now, Amanda? Give us
Okay.
two this time.
Two? Okay.
Give us
All right.
two.
Well,
Or we're never gonna, well, this is gonna be like a 12-hour episode.
I can just stop. Like, I don't have
No,
to name all of
no,
these because a
name.
lot of these are very similar in, in kind of how they're set up.
It's
So
okay.
my next one, I'll do Iron and Magic by Alona Andrews. This is a spin-off from her Kay Daniels series. It is actually Hugh Dambray's book. He is a villain type person in the Kay Daniels series. So everything falls apart for him in that series, and he has to kind of get away and save his people that work, that are like his little military set. They call it the Iron Dogs. So he In all of these books, it's like post-apocalyptic world. So the magic has taken over, and humans are trying to learn how to live with all of this stuff that they never had to live with before. So this one's actually in Kentucky. So he meets up with Alara. She's like they call her the White Lady. She's a white witch. She makes spells and potions, and like this is his redemption story. It is a little darker than Alona Andrews' other books. I am feral for the next book. Like I don't know when it's coming out, but they're working through like other series and stuff. But I'll recommend Alona Andrews. Like it's a husband wife team to anyone that wants to read like any kind of urban fantasy.
I know
This one is a lot spicier,
you and
huh?
Stacy. I can tell when you and Stacy are in my nomination posts and stuff
Oh
like
yeah.
that, because there's always an Alana Andrews.
Yeah, I just like I could give someone anywhere to start. They have enough different series. Like if you want any kind of like fantasy, like shifter, like any kind of otherworldly book, like I just recommend them. So,
Okay, give us another one.
okay. So we read the Samantha Christie whiskey, sorry. Whiskey, right?
Right,
Samantha Whiskey.
Samantha Whiskey, her vampire series.
Her vampire series. So I did read Crimson Truth, which is Benedict and Jocelyn. And Jocelyn's mom runs the witch coven. So you get a lot of witchy stuff in that book. So
Okay.
I think if you want, if you like vampires and you aren't that sure, you don't know if you like witches, like I would suggest that book. Like it's really good. There's a lot of witchy stuff happening. So.
Okay. What do you got for us, Lindsay?
I've already recommended all of mine so many times, but I just reread April Asher's Supernatural Singles, the entire trilogy. I've read it before. I have them on paperback. They're very, very cute. They're very well written. They're slightly spicy. I say like slightly spicy because they're not like over the top spicy, but they
It's
are like
that trad
definitely a
pub.
romance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a romance. But they're just such clever stories, and I really love the second one. Like the second one, he is a demon, so that's not your ex's hexes, and he runs an animal sanctuary, and she is doing community service because she has tried to go steal one of his horses in the middle of the night because she thinks the horse is neglected, and it turns out it's actually an animal sanctuary. So like that one is just so cute because it's like you've got the animal saving, and then I like the third one a lot too, where Bax in the third one is a guardian angel. But he's a bad boy. Like, he's not what you'd expect from a guardian angel at all. And he has, like, they leave breadcrumbs for the storyline throughout the series. And then this, like, he's moved in with the third sister, kind of like convinced her to move in with him. And she is very bookish. I think she's a professor. And it's just like, it's like relatable real world characters because they're based in New York City. But then at the same time, it's like that witchy component to it where it's like they're struggling. They have real world struggles, but they're also like paranormal type struggles. And it's just, anyway, he's supposed to be looking out for her in book three. And no, they fall in love.
They fall in love. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, this was my book of the week, but I felt like it was worth repeating and bringing up because I need people to read it. Also, I was on TikTok the other day and they have a special edition of this book with orange pages and it has leaf printed, like sprayed edges. And that is Pumpkin Spice and Poltergeist, which is book one in the Maple Hollow series by Allie K. Mulford and K. L. Morrison. And do you want to know how many times I've put this book in my cart on TikTok to buy from the TikTok shop?
I just need it because you had me at Orange Pages, like
It's, you
Orange
guys, it's
Pages.
$35. I'm sure because it's expensive, right? It's more expensive to print that way, but
Yeah.
it's so gorgeous. And I really loved the story. It's sapphic and she's possess the poltergeist is her ex, and she's haunting her because she accidentally cast a spell that brought her ex back. And it's just so sweet. It's so fun.
Looks cute.
I love it so much. Okay, what do you got, Amanda?
Okay, I'm gonna do like two really quick. Majeri series by Danica Dark. It's a whole series mostly about Silver and Logan. It's set up more, it's a little darker. It's like mage world. So she comes to find out she has power. They have to have guardians. These are a little, they're a little older, they're a little darker. I like those a lot. If you have any questions, let me know. Also the Alex Kraft series by Kaylana Price. Alex is like actually a grave witch, so she can talk to the dead, and her boyfriend is actually death. It's her in the whole series. She works with the police to kind of solve crimes, so that's a little more like external forces, a little more like kind of like suspense. I like those series, both of those series a lot. So
Okay. Do you
those would
have
be my
another
two.
one? Do you have another one,
Me?
Lindsay? We'll go with Lindsay here.
Okay, looking at my list. No, I mean, so Whatcha Gonna Do by Avery Flynn. It's very much a rom-com, but
It wasn't her best work, and I
it's
am gonna
not.
give her another chance with the book two that's supposed to come out
It was supposed
because,
to come out 2 years ago.
oh, so I wonder if it's not, it didn't get picked
I
up
don't
then.
know if it's going to come out. I don't know if that story is going to continue.
Which is frustrating. It lacked world building. I mean, it's cute, but it wasn't great.
Well, it's got a lot of really similar themes to a lot of other books that are out there. So it's cute in the sense of like you just want a rom-com with very light paranormal
Well,
elements.
but she was a witch
It's
that didn't have
very complicated.
powers.
Yeah, and there's quite a few of those out there, like where the witch comes into her power or discovers her
Kind
power over
of, it
the
was
course
kind of
of.
like that shifter that we read by Susan Wright, where she's the latent wolf that hasn't shifted yet.
Oh, yeah.
So the heroine is kind of like a latent witch that hasn't gained her witchy powers yet. And she's running social media for her witchy family. I feel like there was just a lot going on in that book.
Yeah, I didn't read that
Yeah.
one.
No, I don't. I mean,
Okay, but so
I committed book treason and Leah gave me a hard time about it. I bought the book, I bought the paperback to read it, and then I ripped out the dedication quote. And the book is no longer in my household, but I do have the dedication quote.
oh my God.
That's
Okay,
amazing.
so if you want something along that lines, I really like Sarah Holly, her Glimmer Falls series. The first book is A Witch's Guide to Fake Dating a Demon.
Oh,
They're
cute.
all tropey, fun, witchy books. Anne Aguirre, Aguirre. It's her Fix It Witches series. They're all like kind of handyman fixers
Oh,
kind of thing.
nice.
The first book is Witch Please. And that one, she owns a bakery and she's a bisexual witch and he's a straight male and he keeps asking her how things work. Like, how do you do that? Why does it work that way? And it was just really fun and delightful, and I really did enjoy that. Okay. Okay, Amanda, give us the final two that you can absolutely must talk about before we leave.
Oh, are we not? Okay, so we're,
Oh,
you want to
let's go. You
switch
want to
to
go to Faye?
Fae?
Let's go to
Yeah,
Faye.
I'll switch to Fae. The rest of my witch recs are up there. So I am currently obsessed with The Everseas by L.J. Andrews. This is a Fae series. It's actually The Everking is book one. It is a spin-off from her Broken Kingdom series, which I did not read. So I jumped in right here. I had zero problem with it. So it's the Sea Fae. Eric Bloodsinger is the main character guy, and so he kidnaps Livia, who is an Earth Fae princess. They have a connection back from when they were younger. It is Pirates of the Caribbean, like meets Carnival Row, with a little dash of like Vikings. Like, I am completely obsessed with these books. I ripped through the first three books that are out in this series in like 2 days. And they're under, you know, they're hitting that sweet spot like around like 350. They're not huge, like long books. She describes everything really well. The first two books are Eric and Lydia. So you get the Ever King, the Ever Queen, and then the third book is The Mist Thief, and it's like another one of the children from the couples in the original series. Like they're so well done. There's a good amount of spice. Like I will be talking about these books for a very long time, but yeah.
Okay.
And do you want me to do two?
Well, just a second. Yeah. Stacey is recommending Alyssa Thorne's Wrath of the Fae series and the spinoff
Okay.
from it. They're shorter in length and super bingeable. And then there are some other witchy books recommended in the comments. Tia Didman's Rise of the Blood Witch and Molly Harper's New Witch series, Starfall Point. And then
Yeah, Molly Harper does like
oh,
some
someone
good, like.
recommending Ayana, Leona, or whatever, Andrews, her Clean Sweep series. Go ahead, give us another Fae book.
And I've talked about this one before. So you know how spicy the Feral Sins was, right?
Yeah.
So I always like preface like Savage Lands by Stacey Marie Brown. So much banging.
So much
So
banging.
like so much banging. Like it is like it's there's six books. It's like the Fae Wars have happened. It's set in Budapest. Brexley and Warwick are the two main characters. And I just found out there are two more books. Like I didn't even know. There's six books in the original. And like she's imprisoned. Like they find each other. They can't stay away from each other. They're like banging in like astral projection forms. Like I But there's a lot of good storytelling too. But like when you know that like my paranormal like spice, like I read like Feral Sins by Suzanne Wright and I have no problem. And I'm telling you that there's so much banging in Savage Lands. Like
So
there's a
much,
lot.
so much
There's a
banging.
lot. But it's really good. Like I couldn't put it down. Like I binged it. So it goes really like far into like there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of external conflict. There's a lot of war. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of like backstory. It's a lot. It's good though.
I did have Chronicles of the Stone Veil by Sawyer Bennett. It's fantasy, romanticy. And he is a fae king, I believe, of the underworld. I do feel like a lot of the fae romances have a conflict, like a war, some kind of like, because that Brenda Trim series, that was kind of part of it. There was warring factions and stuff like that. Is that very common within fae romances?
Yeah, because you typically have like the Unseelie and the Seelie are common for fae romances, or you'll get fae courts that are tied to the seasons. So like the summer fae, the fall fae, it's all a very, very like a light and a dark kind of thing. So you get a lot of court situations and they're usually like vying for power.
Okay. Okay, before we go on to close out the episode, is there absolutely any other book on any of these lists we must talk about before we go on to the next thing?
No, I put my recs up like on the website, and I think I've talked about some of these before. So if anybody has any questions, like feel free to ask me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of like what I've read is like adjacent to the fae and witch world, where there's like magical elements or definitely like under the paranormal umbrella, but
Yeah.
not things that fit like the specific witch fae umbrella.
Yeah. So like we said, there are more book recs that we didn't get to over on our website at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find the full list. So Amanda, thanks for sharing the recs with us.
Thanks for
Thanks.
letting me drone on for an hour.
Hardly.
So,
Okay, so guess what time it is? It's that time for Book of the Week. It is Book of the Week time. Amanda, you're up first. What's your Book of the Week?
okay. So, my book of the week is Inheritance. It is the first book in Nora Roberts' Lost Bride trilogy. So it came out last year, and I actually have an arc of book two, which is coming out next month. So I did the audio to kind of just refresh myself to where everything, what everything was happening. The audio is so good. Like Brittany Presley is the narrator. I borrowed it from the library. She does such a good job with all the voices. Like her man voices is very good. I highly recommend it if you've never read Nora Roberts and you want to kind of get into her like kind of like mystical books. This one is she inherits like a manor from an uncle that she didn't know that she had. There's an evil witch who kills like all of the brides of the Poole family. And she has a best friend who also seems like she's going to get like a little romantic situation with one of the cousins. And then her hero is Trey, and he's like one of the attorneys that like comes to tell her that, you know, she's inherited this estate. Like it's just really good. Like I think you would really like the audio.
Okay. I
Yeah,
love Nora
that's
Roberts'
fun.
audios, so I'll have to give it a try.
Sounds good too.
Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
I bet you couldn't guess. It's The Baseball Card Boyfriend by Krista Sandor. I loved this book so much. So much. If you need just like a good laugh, and especially like going into election season, just read this book. It's delightful. She literally, like, she's. So you start out, you meet Maggie. She's on this bus. She's lost everything in her life and she's crying into pie. So she meets a literally like a busload of geriatric drag queens in full drag, and they basically become her fairy godmother in this book, and it's a delight. Like, she winds up running off the bus. She has the amnesia. She meets the baseball player that she's seeking. And like, it is so cheesy and delightful and like the epitome of like mac and cheese read. And it's hysterical. I laughed so hard. Like, just talking about it, like, this is the first time I've been able to actually talk about this book without cracking up because it's just so funny.
It is really good. I mean, just the busload of drag queens, like, you know.
She brings everything full circle. Like, I love how Krista always gives there's always like a bad guy type villain character in her story who's not like necessarily a villain, but she always gives them like a very satisfying end. Like, I don't know, I just love her book so much. Like, it's so good. It's classic Krista Sandor, over the top comedy. This is my favorite of her books, I think.
Well, an
Oh.
amnesia trope is hard to pull off, and I think she did a really stellar job with it. So,
What's your book of the week, Becky?
okay, so I actually had a really great reading weekend.
Yeah.
It hasn't been like this for a minute, so I'm going to recommend What Happened Last Night by Julie Crist. It is rock star adjacent. He's kind of like their business manager. He manages all their tours, their contracts, stuff like that. And he falls in love with his assistant. And she puts up with no crap. So it's boss employee, really great chemistry, really great banter. I really like Julie Chris's books, and I sometimes forget that she's there. She's a Kindle Unlimited author. There's like no reason not to, but she's not somebody that's constantly on socials, constantly being, you know, talked about or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's a really great, solid story, and I cannot recommend it enough. And I've read a couple books by her, and I've always liked them. So, you know, no two books this week, just one. Patreon update. This month's October's Patreon swag packs are sponsored by Renee Rose and Samantha Gale. Those should have hit mailboxes this week. Make sure you join us here Wednesday night for our discussion of The Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon by Kimberly Lemming. That will close out our Out of This World episodes this
It's
Wednesday.
been so much fun.
It has been. It's good to kind of shake things up. It's also good to realize that, hey, maybe some things just aren't in your wheelhouse and we need, you know, to figure that out. So make sure you're back here next Sunday. I'm sure it will be an engaging and interesting conversation. We're going to give you, I think we decided on three books, right?
Did we? I didn't know we
Three
capped
or
it, so.
five. Three or five. I'm not sure which we decided on.
I think we're all going to be on there, so it's probably going to be three.
Three. We are going to give you our top three books that we refuse to accept any criticism on. So these are our be all to end all. We love these books. You need to shut your hole kind of episode. And make sure you check out. Oh, so I launched this weekend our Clear the TBR challenge. It starts now until the end of the year. Technically, you can start your entries November 1st, but you can find all the details on Clear the TBR at buzzingaboutromance.com. For a list of books we talked about on this episode, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. And you can find a list of all of our upcoming Wednesday episodes that we're reading and any events we have planned on our website. And that's that. And that, my enchanting friends, is a wrap on tonight's journey through the world of witches and fae, and of all things spellbinding and romance. We hope you found some new books to add to your TBR and maybe a magical creature or two to swoon over. If you're as bewitched as we are, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, joining us every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for more romance magic. And of course, we want to hear from you. Share your favorite witch or fae reads in the comments or tag us on socials. Until next time, keep your heart open, your TBR full, and may a little magic find you wherever you are. Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.